We're going to check in now on the role of the media and the internet in Egypt with Adil Iskander. He's been following today's events and the many days of protests before. He's a lecturer in Arab media at Georgetown University. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
I want to talk with you first about state television and its evolving role as these protests have gone on. Let's initially, in these weeks of protests, what would you have seen if you turned on state television in Egypt? Anything?
Well, you would see a very stark contrast compared to some of the other satellite television programs that are being streamed into Egyptian homes. So initially, state television was very much in line, direct, you know, communiques between the government and the broadcasters. So nothing that steered away from the government line. So it sounded very propagandistic, and that was, you know, one of the startling contrasts.
Would there have been an acknowledgement that there were protesters in the street? Would you have seen images of Tahrir Square and what was going
very
on?
Very rarely, very rarely. In fact, most of the images and most of the video was actually either stills of Egypt, very tranquil, very quiet, very serene images and videos of the Nile and surrounding buildings, architecture, things of that sort, and patriotic music, but nothing that really showed unrest in the streets of Cairo, specifically not Tahrir Square.
And how has that evolved over the last couple of weeks?
Well, I think with the growing disenchantment and the rise in the number of protesters in the streets of Egypt, and of course the scandals as far as international media is concerned, the state television has had to come into the fold. And so eventually their programming has at least described the existence of protests, but to a great extent underestimated and underreported the magnitude of these protests.
And what about tonight after President Mubarak's speech where he said he was not stepping down?
Well, just before the speech, it appeared as though the state television has come back into the fold of, you know, legitimate journalism and stopped the propaganda. But after the speech, it seems like there's a relative perplexion on the part of the journalists. They don't know how to report this story particularly. So they're saying that people are walking away from Tahrir Square contemplating what's going on, but not really rejecting the concessions.
Contemplating would be one word for it. I'm not sure it's the word I would have chosen. I want to talk to you, too, about the role of Al Jazeera, which has been a real target for the fury of the Egyptian government. Why don't you explain that role?
Well, Al Jazeera has had a very, very difficult relationship with the Egyptian government for many years. But all of this has come to a head over the last 2 weeks or so. And the Egyptian government has tried everything possible to muzzle the station, everything from raiding their offices, arresting their journalists, trying to shut them down, basically pulling them off the Nilesat television to avoid having Egyptians watch them. They've come on air again in the last 24 hours. But I think the damage is done. And now Mubarak is making public statements accusing foreign powers of interfering. And that's very much a closeted accusation against Al Jazeera and its sponsoring nation of Qatar.
Do you figure most people in Egypt who are trying to get news about what's going on would be tuning to state television or to Al Jazeera? Would it depend entirely on how they feel about President Mubarak?
I think if you're following the developments in your own country, you would be incredibly wise to basically channel switch between Al Jazeera and the Egyptian satellite channel, as well as other varieties. So I think this story is far more interesting to the Egyptians than anyone else. And so they're surveying the scene as much as they possibly can to keep up with the latest developments.
We've been hearing, of course, a lot about the role of the internet in galvanizing and organizing these protests. Earlier on, the Egyptian government shut down the web. And now a Google executive has become a real hero among the protesters, Wael Ghanem, who was arrested and then released earlier this week. Let's listen to something he said yesterday on CNN.
If you want to free a society, just give them internet access. Because people are going to, you know, the young crowds are gonna all go out and see and hear the unbiased media, see the truth about, you know, other nations and their own nation, and they're going to be able to communicate and collaborate together.
Was this an internet revolution?
Definitely, this is the internet revolution. I'll call it Revolution 2.0.
Revolution 2.0. Adil Iskander, do you think in some level that's facile, though, that this goes well beyond tweeting and Facebook? What's going on in Egypt reflects deep-seated grievances of longstanding.
I think the truth works both ways. I mean, to a great extent, it would have been very difficult for people to find an arena, a venue whereby they can express their thoughts freely to the extent that they can mobilize and turn this into an actual revolution. So anybody who was watching the internet and watching social networking such as Facebook and what Wael Ghanem was doing anonymously on the internet over the past 6 months or so could have foreseen how things are developing. But if you missed it entirely, then all of this would have been entirely unexpected. connected. So I think it's important to recognize the role of the internet. But once the internet is cut off, then it's it's the will of the people to translate action to bodies on the street. And that's exactly what happened the moment where El Ghunem was cut off, the internet arrested, detained, and everything was gone.
Adil Iskander, a lecturer in Arab media at Georgetown University. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.